Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Dr. Tim Clinton.
Thanks, Jim. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, and welcome in. I have a very special guest today. He's a dynamic speaker, counselor, life coach. New book out from AACC Publishing, one that I think could help change your life. I'm serious. Listen in, my guest, Dr. Johnny Parker. And as I said, he's a life coach, professional speaker, author, and leadership consultant. He specializes in helping individuals and organizations discover purpose and enhance performance through his Turn the Page framework. As an author, Johnny has written books focused on personal growth, relationships, and leadership. He has a Doctor of Strategic Leadership, has worked with NFL teams, corporate leaders, and educational institutions. He's also an adjunct professor at Johns Hopkins University, where he teaches on leadership and personal development. Through coaching, speaking engagements, and workshops, he inspires people to live intentionally and to write a better story. Johnny, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Great to be here. Dr. Tim Clinton, been looking forward to this.
Johnny, congrats on your new book, Front Stage, Backstage, External Success Requires Internal Health. And I hope everyone listening turns up the dial here. We've got a conversation today that I think is going to resonate from the corporate room to stay-at-home moms who every day they feel exhausted because it's like we're always performing, Johnny. It's like we're always on stage and we've got to have this persona, if you will, that we've got this stuff all together. It's exhausting. People are absolutely wiped out. But nevertheless, Johnny, the camera never turns off. And so God's put something in your heart. It's a real message that I think not only is it personal because you've got a personal story here, but it really resonates with today's generations.
Yeah, it really does. We have a culture that is exhausted. Studies have shown, Deloitte did a study, Dr. Tim, and it showed that 77% of Americans, of leaders, are burnt out. 84% of millennials are exhausted. They're burnt out. My word for that is soul abuse. And so our souls were never made for constant hurry, constant noise, constant busy. And our souls were not made for grind. Jesus did not do grind, okay? And even in the Christian community, we celebrate that. It got to be about the grind. Really? Mm-mm. Our souls were made for stillness and to move from a place of silence and solitude. And that happens when a soul in what I call the backstage.
In today's world, Johnny, I've got my phone up in front of me right now. And how many hours are spent scrolling? Some people call it doom scrolling or whatever. You're just constantly rolling through images, messages. I know we get our news, everything pretty much online anymore. But nevertheless, how we present ourselves up here is becoming everything. You know that. And people are, that's where I think we're getting absolutely wiped out. It's especially our kids, Johnny. What it's doing to our kids is devastating. It's like this fake world, this external world. And again, I like this front stage, backstage piece here. Set us up, Johnny. Tell us a little bit about where we're going here.
Yeah, that our soul is at its best through the backstage. Jesus captured it really, really well, as only he could, when he says in Mark 8:36, What should it profit a man? Expand that. A man, a woman, a leader, a coach, a mom, a dad, a husband, a wife, a corporate leader. Whatever, sports, entertainment, education. What should it profit a person to gain this amazing front stage of achievement, of accomplishment, of a productivity and performance, but lose you, lose your soul in the backstage? And so this is a book, Tim, that, again, is very personal for me because I know what it's like to have a front stage of snap, crackle, pop in terms of performance and productivity, but nearly lost my marriage, suffered with panic attacks, suffered with depression because I could not figure out how they work in unison with one another.
That incongruence, Johnny, just for a moment, what we present publicly and who we are privately. You know, through the years, I can't tell you how many times I heard that conversation. What really matters is who you are in the dark when no one's looking, when no one else can see. Are you consistent there, and is that being portrayed out there in the public persona? You know that? And this image management stuff, this influencer piece and all that, and how many times have you heard people say this? That ain't who they are. That's not, no. I see all those pics. That dude is one sick man. And Johnny, that's the stuff that's, by the way, blowing up our world, so even our confidence. Yeah. Look what's happening with a lot of Christian leaders right now.
Yes, for sure. And you know, there's an exercise that I do whenever I speak about this, Dr. Tim. I have people draw a picture of a tree. I give them like 60 seconds, draw a picture of a tree. And what they draw is interesting. They draw a tree without any roots. And then I asked them the question, why didn't you draw the roots? Now, Dr. Parker, we didn't have time, but they got birds, they got apples and oranges. Really? How is your tree producing that kind of fruit, but you don't have any roots? And they get it. They get it. Very few in a room, well, we don't draw the roots because we can't see them. And so we're talking about the soul, that the root system and what happens in your soul is designed to power. And I think, and the way I describe it in the book is, the soul is at its best when we're serving from joy, vulnerability, and love. There's a difference between when I show up on the front stage for love versus from love. And I have a story of chasing validation on the front stage and it costing me my soul. I would, just in church ministry, I needed the church and people to validate me. I was more interested in people saying, you are a great speaker, versus what the Spirit did to transform my life. I mean, that's where I was. I needed you to validate me. You were great. You're the man. You're great. And no matter how many times you drink from that fountain, it's exhausting and it doesn't quench the thirst.
And so, in a lot of ways, Johnny, it goes back to that piece where we struggle with who I am is based on what I do or what others think of me.
Exactly.
So if I buy into that mindset, then I'm going to constantly be on stage. And it really is all about how many likes am I getting. So then it becomes, how am I presenting my image piece here? And image management, again, becomes what it's all about. And, are my kids perfect? Do they look clean? Are they in trouble? Are they acting up or what have you? And it's like our whole home is turned upside down. It's a mess just because we can't get control of all this stuff. And Johnny, we're constantly pushed for more, higher levels of attainment, achievement, whatever it is. That's the world we're living in.
Yeah. The anthem for high-performing leaders, if they're honest, driven leaders, which I, by the way, think is a dangerous word. I think a better word is a drive. We need drive. But driven people, in the work that I've done, driven people sing this song every morning. That's their chant. Be more, do more, have more, get more. 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 They're chasing after a finish line that does not exist. Now, God calls us to be impactful. Philippians makes it clear, do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, esteeming others as better than yourselves, not merely looking out. So we are called to be impactful. It's just that there's a difference between a life of hustle, hurry, busy noise, which I call soul abuse. And there's a difference between living a life of that. As I said earlier, Jesus did not do grind versus what I call a restful diligence. Being diligent, but doing it from a place of restfulness, not restlessness.
I want to read a line straight from your book, Johnny. It says, there's a widespread lie in corporate America that a messy backstage is just the price of success. It's the story many leaders tell themselves. They believe that losing marriages, neglecting children, abandoning friends, disrespecting or disregarding health and sanity, and even walking away from God are simply the costs every leader must pay on the path to greatness. That stopped me. I mean, it did. It stopped me in my tracks, Johnny, because we all have been pushed to the limits, and we've all seen and watched the stories of, say, those around us who did that very thing. They sold out everything. For what? For what? A better car? Huh? A bigger house? An empty house, by the way, when there's nobody in it? And Johnny, I don't know how we get to this balance piece because, again, I want to be a realist. I mean, you're living in a world that just forces people to participate and to live in this way. How do we, I guess, start out by toning down maybe some of the lies that we buy into? Early on, you talk about 8 key lies that we all wrestle with, every one of us. Johnny, again, people can go to your new book, Front Stage, Backstage, External Success Requires Internal Health. But, hey, march us down the road here to some of this drumbeat that we keep buying into.
Yeah, well, a big part of it is just the language that we use in terms of life-work balance or work-life balance versus life-work rhythm. I think that's it's a misnomer, Dr. Tim, that life is a balance. Life is not a balance. Jesus did not do balance. Jesus did rhythm. I'm a part of the Harvard Business Review Council. Harvard did a study on reflection and showed that when leaders over a 10-day period spend 12 to 15 minutes a day just reflecting on their lives, they are more fruitful, more productive. Their impact is nearly 25%. What they're saying is, God, your ways work, because that's exactly what happens in Genesis 1. At least 7 times, God reflects on his work and says, that was good stuff. One of the things that I ask in my coaching with a lot of executives is this: to end your day with this question, what good work am I most proud of today? And reflect on that. And so that's the first thing. We want to change the language. I think language of grind and hurry. The soul, again, was not designed. The amygdala, the brain, the neuroscience shows that the soul and the brain, we do not do well. Hurry, fast, busy, grind. That is not the way. It's what I call a restful diligence. The Navy SEALs have a great saying: slow is smooth and smooth is fast. I love that. And so I think that's a big, big deal, that we have to change the language, that it's rhythm, not balance. The sun has a rhythm. The sun rises, the sun shines, the sun sets. The heart has a rhythm. The ocean has a rhythm. God lives in rhythm. He does not live in balance.
So let me make sure I'm clearly understanding what you're saying. You're saying stop this work-life balance thirst or quest and get into a rhythm. In other words, there's a natural way for us. Not that we don't push ourselves. We need to be able to, quote, support and challenge one another. There are times, though, when we just focus on pushing the limits, and it's constant challenge, and we don't come around. It's like our kids. There are times to push them, and there are times, quote, to support them. The rhythm piece, Johnny, is what? Just settling into where I'm at and what I can and can't do, or what?
The rhythm starts with I engage my work, and yes, I'm called to have impact and have results in my work, but I'm also called to make sure I'm reflecting on the work. I don't just keep going. I don't just keep going through the day. I don't just do life as a blur. So the rhythm involves moments of reflection, moments of renewal, and moments of recentering. We have to always recenter because
That's the rhythm you're talking
that's
about.
That's the rhythm.
Get that worked into where you
absolutely
are.
Absolutely. We
doing.
Have to bake that in.
So in other words, you better start thinking about, is who I am based on what I do and what others think of me? Or has God already settled the who I am piece, and I need to reflect on that?
Absolutely. So, I need to reflect on that. I need to sit with what I call the Fab Five of questions that I ask myself and I bring to a lot of my clients. Who am I? That's my identity. What do I want? I'm made for impact. That's my impact. I'm called to let my light so shine before men. And do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings, CEOs, using the language of today. So what do I want? Impact. Why? That's a big one. Why do I want it? That's intent. I have to sit with the intent. And then who am I becoming is a fourth question. That's integrity. We don't bump into better. We don't wander to wellness. Better wellness happens intentionally, not automatically. And then the fifth one is, how do I want people to experience me? And that's to inspire and to leave them better than how I found them. All of that is to be baked into this rhythm. And every leader, Dr. Tim, I find this is, and I just came from the woods. I have woods in a stream. I know you do where you live, but I'm a city New York guy, man. I didn't get to the woods and streams. I lived in California in the mountains, and God took me to the mountains of California to show me the value of the beauty of trees and deer, in which I didn't grow up with. And so now I have woods and stream near my home. And I found that every leader, every soul needs a place where their soul can catch its breath and to get the rhythm and to sit with these five questions. You need a place. Every leader needs mom, dad, husband, wife, CEO. Where is your place of silence and stillness? This is what Jesus modeled in Luke 5:16. He says that he frequently departed to a solitary place. And solitary in the scripture is the idea of, it's eremos, it's a Greek word, and it means a desolate place. And he frequently did it. This is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Whatever Jesus models, we're wise to follow, right, Dr. Tim? And so this is what he did. And this is now a practice of mine. Like I literally, before coming on talking with you, I spend the morning in the woods at the stream with the deer, affirming my identity, and praying and worshiping and journaling to get the backstage right to support front stage impact for that day.
You know, when I was studying for the ministry, Johnny, I used to hear quotes about how Martin Luther would spend hours in prayer before he started this day. And I thought, man, oh man, who does that? You know what I mean? Hours before. But and the more challenging his day was, the more time he spent in prayer. So now I'm starting to pick up on your conversation here for a moment. You're saying, hey, if all you're doing is grinding, and this is one of your points, one of the eight lies, you start grinding before you're grounding. In other words, you better anchor yourself. You better press in that direction and know where your source, your hope, your life, your strength comes from first. This mindset too, I'll be happy when we finally build that special place. Or I saw your quote in there by John D. Rockefeller, just a little bit more. When are you going to be happy? The richest man in the world at the time. Maybe just a little bit more. You know, there's a piece in there, Johnny, where we get that just a little bit more mindset, and that is it takes effort. But if you can't anchor your effort somehow, somewhere, it's nothing more than selfish ambition. You know, that it doesn't make sense, and you're willing to sacrifice anything and everything to that end. And if, again, somewhere we've got to make sense out of this, Johnny, because we're gonna get slaughtered. Let me ask you, Johnny. Yeah, I want to go on a personal side here just for a moment, Johnny. Inside the book, you talk about that man that I just described was me. Johnny, take us down that. Where did life go sideways for you? I know you had a lot going on, and God was blessing, or it seemed like your life was being blessed, and then the wheels came off the bus. What happened?
Yeah, so in my 30s, I wrote a best-selling marriage book, and it did really, really well. It opened up a lot of doors. At the time, I'm speaking nationally for Family Life Weekend to Remember. I'm speaking like every weekend. I'm on CNN International. I'm on Fox News and radio. I'm everywhere. I'm in the White House. And I'm doing things for corporate all over the world, making more money than ever before, meeting more people than ever before. And then I I get around 39 to 40, and I hit a wall. All of a sudden, my wife, who I call my Jamaican sensation.
She's fun, by the way.
Yes, yes, yes. She calls me the bald wonder. We're going through a dark season. I'm the marriage guy, right? I just wrote the marriage book. And so now I began battling with depression, panic attacks, close to having an affair that I didn't have, but close to making a choice that could have destroyed my marriage. I didn't realize in my back, I didn't have the language of front stage, backstage back then. I just released a book prior to what came out of that was a book called Turn the Page later on, but I introduced this concept of front stage, backstage, because I didn't want to do where you got the iceberg thing, and that's a great analogy. I said, I need something closer to story, and God gave me this analogy back then. This is 10 years ago. So what I realized was this: in my backstage, I was a lonely guy. I was an isolated guy. I had some trauma that I had not dealt with from my childhood. And I found out the hard way, whatever we don't talk out, we act out, or we bury it, and it gets buried alive, metastasized into anxiety, depression. And so that's what was my story. And so that's where I didn't realize I was being very vulnerable with God and even transparent with myself. But the third thing, I couldn't do it with men like you, Dr. Tim. I didn't do it with men. I was lonely. I didn't even let my wife in my backstage. And so it was costing me. And I just thought, you know, to be well in the backstage, all of us need that level of vulnerability with self. David says, "So why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God." With God, as again, David says, you know, pour out your heart before the Lord. The third one was the challenge. And so it cost me, and I ended up in therapy to process some things in my life that I had not really dealt with from my childhood. And now today, I have four men that I meet with every Wednesday at 4 o'clock, and we have the conversation. What's the most important matter going on in your soul that you need to talk about? But for years, I was good about evangelizing the importance of small group and evangelizing the importance of community, terrible about applying it.
Johnny, I just have a feeling, based on what I see in culture, there's a thirst for that. Those who humble themselves are going to be exalted in a different way, God's way. Johnny, I really believe that kind of consistency also creates the rhythms of life that we're looking for, that we're starved for, especially in this crazy world that we're living in. Our special guest again today has been Dr. Johnny Parker. New book out called Front Stage, Backstage, External Success Requires Internal Health. Let me challenge you. You need to get your hands on this book, and you need to spend some time marinate on the message that's here, because I think it's something that really brings freedom to people, Johnny, because we're like in prison. We're in this prison of performance and so much more, and we need to break out of it and get free, and then maybe we can get something done for God, if you know what I mean. That would be it. That would be something new, wouldn't it?
Sure.
That'd be exciting. Yeah, because that's what people want to see. They want to know that their God is who he says he is, in and through his people, too. And we need to manifest that very thing. Johnny, where can people learn more about you and say how to get a copy of this book?
They can go to johnnyparker.com, and there's information there. But even more so, go to frontstagebackstage.com, because there's an assessment that my 26-year-old son Joel created, and it is incredible. We've already started sharing it even with the audiences at American Association of Christian Counselors. And the assessment is incredible. It takes like 5 minutes, and it helps you understand where you are in terms of front stage, backstage, and what's happening in your rhythm or lack thereof. And so we're excited about that cool assessment. So they can go to frontstagebackstage.com, get the book, and do the assessment.
Johnny, you know we're praying for you and Leslyn and your entire family. God's continued blessing. I know he's got his hand all over you. This is a special time. It's a time of freedom and strength, I think, in and through your heart and your message. So, hey, thank you so much for taking time to join us.
Oh, it's been a joy. My pleasure, my friend.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.